was the sound this morning from my bedroom around 7:05, 7:10. I went downstairs and heard the lawnmower, a big riding lawnmower of my next door neighbor. 7:20, 7:30 on a Monday morning is too dang early to be mowing your lawn. I said it. I'm willing to take the heat. Do you disagree? 651-461-9226. I need an official start time for loud stuff outside your house. The lawnmower. Now, to be clear, I don't blame my neighbor, because this was a company that came with that big old riding loud lawnmower. Just as I was like, I feel like I was achieving some of my best REM sleep, just nailing it. For me, 8 o'clock. Come on. If you're going before 8 o'clock, it's too early. Now, I understand that I am the same guy who used to be up at 2:30 in the morning to snowblow, to leave my neighborhood. I have no such rules about snowblowing. The DeRusha rules say snowblow whenever you need to snowblow. You got to get out of your driveway. You got to get out of your house. You do whatever you want. Lawn mowing is different. Nobody has a lawn mowing emergency. There is no reason on a weekday for you to be up at 7 in the morning mowing the lawn. No reason for it. Plus, the lawn is wet in the morning anyway. What are we doing? What are we doing? 651-461-9226. Let's go to Donna in Clara City. Donna, hey. 7 a.m. feels a little early to me on a Monday. What do you think?
Yeah, not happening. Grass is too wet. You can't mow wet grass.
Yeah. Agreed? What are they even doing?
Agreed.
Think of the sloppy blade work on that lawn.
You're getting windrows. Windrows are not acceptable.
No, absolutely not. Let's have a little respect for the lawnmower.
Yes.
A little respect.
Yes. So it's gotta be dry, and you better have it done before it gets dark outside. Those idiots that are mowing at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, get the gun. Done with them too.
Donna's taking this a little more seriously than I am, but I like it. I like it, Donna. I do have a headlight on my... Now, my mower is one of those battery deals, so...
Okay.
And it's got a headlight, but it's pretty...
Donna, doesn't matter.
It's pretty cool. Well, what did they put the headlight on there for if you're not supposed to do it at dusk?
No. That's for the... Well, yeah, you have a... Yeah, we have a rider with a headlight.
Oh, yeah.
No. That's for pushing snow.
Yeah.
That is the only reason that's there.
I think that's fair. Thank you, Donna. Donna says get the gun. I was just doing a little mild complaining, but I like Donna taking it seriously. I like Donna taking it seriously. 651-461-9226. Get up. The day is half over, dude. I'm not gonna fight that too much, like. But shouldn't I be able to have like a little half hour, 45 minutes to lie in my bed in peace and quiet? It's a weekday. Don't you have to get up and go to work? Are people mowing the lawn before they work? I don't know. Now, are the times different on the weekday? Are they on the? Is it different weekday versus weekend? I will say for me, I have sort of a 9 a.m. cutoff in my mind. I think 9 a.m., you should wait. I think you should wait to do stuff until after 9 a.m. And I wake up on the weekend. Sometimes I'm up at 7 o'clock. Sometimes I'm up at 6 o'clock. And I don't go fire up the lawnmower. Or the one time I did the weed whacker in my robe. But it was still after 9 a.m. So I was in my... That's just... I just think it's courtesy. It's about courtesy. Judy's in Eden Prairie. Judy, our last caller wanted to get out weaponry if you were doing this too late. What do you think?
Well, personally, there's another approach. I think instead of being a victim, you ought to be assertive and walk over there and negotiate with him. What's a good time for both of you?
Oh. Well, that doesn't get me a very good radio segment, though. What's the point of that, Judy?
Well, you know, for me personally, I think 9 o'clock is the earliest I would like to hear a lawnmower.
Yeah.
7 or 7:30, way too early.
I think so. But, and it's not, like, I'm not ready to take up arms. You know what I mean? And this guy, the neighbor who is doing it, so if it were him doing it just like once, to me that's a nothing, right? Like, people, like, life comes at you, whatever happens, like, sometimes you got to do stuff early. I'm not going to lose my mind about it. But because it was a company, so it's like a louder riding mower and then somebody with the trimmer, it was like a production next door. That
well, they may be on a schedule with him, Jason.
Yeah, that could
be. I would talk to the neighbor and say, hey, 7:30 is way too early. I know the company has a schedule, but I wonder if we can adjust it just a little bit.
All right. Very good. I like this. Judy is a nice, like, mediator. Come together. You know, Judy is one of these people who's like, I don't know if it's nice to take whatever drama is going on in your neighborhood and then blast that on a 50,000-watt radio station for entertainment purposes. But I got a job to do here. I got a family to feed. And you know what? Sometimes the neighbors are going to have to sacrifice, Dan. Sometimes, like, their personal need to get some work done, my need to fill a segment comes in a little higher. You actually brought this up last week, which is what got this in my head today.
Yeah.
And it wasn't lawn mowing for you, was it?
No, this was actually the apartment complex that I'm in was doing some construction work that required one of those very large cranes. There's not a very good spot to park said crane, given the layout of the complex. So it was a lot of, you know, three-point turning kind of thing to get the crane wedged in where they needed it. And, of course, every time you put it in reverse, big, you know, beep, truck like that, you get the beep, beep, beep,
beep.
And yeah, this was like 7:30 in the morning, which I just thought was obnoxious.
Yeah.
So I said 9 o'clock. And you mocked me for 9 o'clock. You said 9 o'clock was way too late for something like that to get started.
I did.
And funny, now you're out this morning when it happens to you saying, oh, you know, 9 o'clock sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Now, Chris Eggert chimed in. You know who no one wants to hear from?
Chris
Some
Eggert.
Dude who wakes up at 2 a.m. and your concept of time is irrelevant to the rest of the world. Again, I'm not unreasonable, says the guy who's being unreasonable. So I think that there is a difference between lawn mowing and snow blowing. Snow blowing is a matter of you got to get to your job. If you need to snowblow at 3 a.m, at 1 a.m, do it. But there's no reason to mow the lawn that early. Especially now, weekends for me are even more egregious. More egregious. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Keith. Oh, now Keith is going to make me feel terrible. Keith, go ahead. Let me have it.
Hey, Jason, I've been cutting lawns for 45 years. You got to start early. You got a lot to do. You want to beat the heat. What if we change the hours of what time you work and you start at 4 and work till 7?
Well, would that be better for you if my show were on from 4 to 7? Because I'm willing to entertain it, you know? I'd change my
hour. Well, it might be. I listen to you all day and I can listen for an extra hour.
All right, that is fair. Like, if you're running a lawn service, you're trying to get to as many houses as possible during the day. So, I guess...
Yeah, and we like to beat the heat and beat the rain sometimes.
So, do you have to, like, you know, a lot of people are texting and responding with the noise ordinance. And I guess I'm not a big, I don't
well,
look.
Well, we can start at 7 in every city I work in.
Yeah, I don't look to the noise ordinance as my guide. I don't think we need a law or a rule for everything where you say, like, okay, you know, what's the right thing to do? But legally, you can start at 7. So if I were to say, well, why?
I start a little later on weekends. I try to give them the benefit, you know, a little time there.
A little time.
But I've got a job to do, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to wake somebody up on a Sunday morning, but sometimes you do.
How's business?
It's the best July I've ever had.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad
to hear it. The grass is slowing down, but the weeds are growing.
Yeah, beautiful. Make the money, Keith. Don't worry about my wine, and I want you to make the money.
Hey, 7 to 7.
Very good. 7 to 7 is it. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it. 319, lots of texts coming in. I was surprised at how mad people got at me when I asked this question at Facebook. We'll talk about that when we come back. AJ Legault from Care 11 has been investigating fraud in Minnesota. It started with drug treatment centers, possibly ripping off the taxpayers. And now he has a housing counseling program that he's essentially shut down with his reporting. We'll talk to AJ in 15 minutes here on CCO. How early is too early? Robust debate. This was 7:25 this morning. Riding lawnmower. Not great. I'm not furious about it. You know, sometimes on the radio, everything sounds like I'm at a 13. You know what I mean? Like I'm through the roof angry. I'm not angry about it. I do think all of us have these little debates with ourselves, right? Like, what is the right time? How early is too early? When should I go out? I want to be a good neighbor, but I also want to take care of business. Lisa says 7:30 is very reasonable. 7 o'clock for a start time is reasonable. You can sleep when you're dead. Richard says we had a meth head that would mow the grass at 3 a.m. by yard light. I'm thinking that Richard's mowing irritation was probably rather low on the list of irritations with the meth head next door. What is the right time for this? For me, I say, well, I was going to say 8:30 as the line for weekdays, and I'm willing to roll that back to 8. I still maintain if you're doing mowing or leaf blowing or string trimming before 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday, honestly, I think it's fair to like shoot a BB at the actual lawn implement, not at the person, but at the implement. I think you're fine. Let's go to Jimmy in Maple Grove, who has thoughts. Jimmy, am I off on this? I feel like 7:30 is too early.
You're totally off.
Yeah.
Dusk till dawn. It's summertime. You obviously need better insulation in your house. So go ahead and shoot a BB at my stuff, and I'm going to throw a rock through your window, and then you're really going to be bummed that you can hear it.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Stay in your lane, stay in your house, and pay for your lawn to be cared for by somebody else.
Jimmy, I like the passion. So how early do you start? Do you have do you run a company? Do you run a service?
No, you're just a regular old homeowner.
Yeah.
And I want to do the things on my property that I would like to do as soon as the sun comes up and when the sun goes down.
So
there's lights on lawnmowers for lights on snowblowers for a reason.
I think people
so
should.
So you can do it when it's dark out.
I think you should snowblow whenever you want. Like, I have no rules on snowblowing because you're trying to get out of your driveway to go to work or trying to clear it out. Like, do what you need to do during snowblowing.
Snowblowers are generally louder in decibels than a lawnmower.
They are, but I think it's understandable. You know what I mean? There's no lawn mowing emergency that says I better get up at 6 a.m. and mow the lawn.
What if I work all day? I work 70 hours a week. I only have 2 days a week to take care of my lawn and my property.
Well, you should probably get some kid to mow your lawn, right?
possible.
You're tired. You're tired. You're working. You've earned it. You've earned it working that hard.
I don't want somebody else. I would like to take care of it because I'm a control freak, and they're not going to mow in the proper line order that I would like them to mow in.
That's fair. I get that. Yeah, this is
clearly why I'm up mowing at 6 o'clock, pissing off the neighbors.
Jimmy, thanks.
Have a great day. I appreciate it.
Very good. Jimmy makes a lot of fair points. I'm just telling how I feel. This is how I feel. I'm not proposing a law. I'm not proposing a change to the noise ordinance. Texter says, I actually mow lawns out of Mounds View. I would say 7 a.m. is a little too early, but 8 a.m. is just right. Another texter, none of you city slickers would make it out in the country. Daylight is when the world starts moving. Now, another texter saying they live on a golf course that feels the need to announce the next foursome starting at a loudspeaker as early as 6:30. So that does make me feel like I'm being a crybaby about it, you know? If you've got that. Next up, it's Larry and Jimmy and Chris. Yeah, no. That's a no for me. John's in Orono. John, the good people of Orono would never start before 8 a.m. on a weekday, would they?
Heck no. You know, and the thing is, you can do that. You've got over 13, 14 hours of daylight, mow. You can wait after that time. And you're right about the snow blowing. And one thing that the other guy from Maple Grove doesn't understand is that the snow muffles the sound of a snowblower.
True.
You can't even hear it. So.
I've never heard anybody in my neighborhood snow blowing. My bedroom's in the back of the house, and the snow blowing is in the front. So it's, you know, again, not my problem. That's what this show is about. What is my problem today? And I will tell you about it and expect it to become everyone else's problem. I'm essentially like a teenager. That's what I am here.
But a good teenager, a smart one.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Jason, be glad you have neighbors who do take care of their lawns. We have had several neighbors who almost never mowed. Be grateful. That is true. Again, like on the scale of anger, zero meaning I'm not angry at all. Like should we have a scale of anger, Dan? Like what should?
And we got to get big voice guy, you know, and now the scale of anger.
Right. Cause like zero is like, I don't care about this
right.
at all.
If it's a zero, we probably shouldn't be talking about
true.
It. True.
Yeah. 10 is like, I'm legitimately
steam coming out the ears.
But where's the number for like, I'm not really mad at this, but I just thought it would be fun to talk about. What's that number?
It's like a 5.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Useful.
Sure.
Useful. I am a 10 on how the state of Minnesota has been dealing with fraud. But I'm also a 10 on how impressed I am with one local TV station and how they have been investigating the living daylights out of this stuff. An investigation from AJ Legault and his team at Care 11 has led to a Friday news dump of the state doing something I've never heard of before. We'll talk about that with AJ when we come back. We have a fraud problem in Minnesota, and this latest example is just so egregious. A program that was estimated to be about a $3 million program where Medicaid reimbursed counselors, basically, for housing stabilization services. People looking for housing. They're down and out. They got problems. They get counseling. Medicaid reimburses companies that do this, and in an ideal world, people end up with a better, safe, affordable place to live. Programs was supposed to be a $3 million a year program or so. In 2024, there was almost $100 million paid out in reimbursements, which was enough to get the attention of Care 11, thank goodness, and reporter AJ Legault.
Yeah, I honestly did not see that one coming, where they took that really drastic step to just say, we need to immediately kill this program.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like it. And certainly having the genesis of this be a TV news investigation, just it is an incredible admission that this housing stabilization services program just either had no checks and balances to make sure it was legit, or worst case, that it was really set up in a way that made it so easy for people to take advantage of it.
Yeah, this was supposed to be an easy to receive benefit. And I think what's key that I think a lot of folks don't necessarily understand is this program did not actually provide anyone with housing. It provided counselors, in essence, to help people find and maintain housing. And that's why it was only estimated, you know, back in 2020 when the legislature passed this, that it was going to cost about $2.6 million a year and would help about 8,000 people, which is a, you know, really laudable goal. And here we are 5 years later, and it's costing annually more than $100 million. I mean, that should have been setting off red flags all over the place.
How did you first get wind that there might be something wrong here?
Yeah, we first started getting wind late last year. Kind of shows you how long investigative journalism can take sometimes. But we've spent about the past 2 years or so in an investigation we called Recovery Inc. And it was following the money and investigating the business side of addiction recovery. And as we were doing that, we had a lot of clients getting us their records. And one of those was a woman named Rachel Lean, who she got her records and then said, wait a minute, what's this? I've never even heard of this company that billed me $14,000 in 8 months. And that was how this investigation started. It was like, well, wait a minute, who is this company and what do they do? And she didn't know, and neither did we at the start.
Interesting. So she was sort of the first sign where it was like, all right, there's some sort of potential scam going on here, that you're getting billed for something you didn't get. And that's where then it just started unraveling as you dug more, right?
Sure. You keep pulling the string and we know, well, okay, this doesn't look right. Well, how much has this program been billed? Who's billing the most? And it takes quite a while to get data from the state, but once you get that data, you can really start to see some of these alarming statistics where you'd have, you know, what the feds are now calling fly-by-night companies. We found where companies founded in the last 2-3 years that suddenly are billing, you know, $1 million a year for this service, you know, out of nowhere with no experience in housing. And, you know, many of the listed employees are 18, 19, 20, or, you know, mid-20s. Some of them at their oldest. And you're like, this just doesn't make sense.
AJ Legault is with us from Care 11 Investigative Unit. They have been really impressively out in front by uncovering fraud in addiction services. They were the first to report on fraud in this housing sort of counseling services, which on Friday, the state made a move to just shut it down and say, we can't guarantee that people are getting what they need. When you talked to, I guess the hard thing about this is, as far as a person being victimized by this, this is really sort of the insurance company that's getting, right? Like it's Medicaid and taxpayers getting victimized. But talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's two things. There's the fraud against taxpayers, you know, the Medicaid dollars that are, you know, funneled through the state. They're funneled through insurance companies. And, you know, there is that. And there's massive fraud. And, you know, that was kind of our focus as we started, was following the money. But then we started to also realize there are real people suffering real harm. We found people who've been homeless all winter in Minnesota thinking that this housing stabilization company was working around the clock to find them a place to live. And they're just waiting day after day and after week and month after month for help that never comes. They're just ghosted, living in a tent in Minnesota in the winter, thinking help's coming. We found other, like a couple who had finished up going through, you know, an addiction recovery service. They're trying to get their life back on track. They're both working. One's at a gas station, one's at Target. But because of their history, they have trouble finding a place to live. So they're paying more than $3,000 a month to live in Airbnbs while they think their housing council, their housing stabilization company, is out there trying to find them, real rental to work with their history. And so they're paying way more money than they would on an apartment. You know, they're being harmed because they think they're getting help. So you have fraud, and then you have vulnerable people being exploited.
Yeah. AJ Legault is with us. I mean, when you read the quote from DHS here in Minnesota late Friday afternoon, the quote from the temporary commissioner, Shireen Gandhi, our own data analysis has shown that this program does not have the necessary controls to stop bad actors. And so they want it just to be ended. I mean, a million questions come out of that. One, why not? How are we setting up programs that don't have any sort of controls in that regard? It's a little astonishing, I think.
Yeah, it is. And this is one of those Medicaid expansion programs for they're unlicensed. So unlike, say, an addiction recovery place that has somebody from DHS who's in charge of licensing going in and doing an inspection every year, where there's at least, you know, that level of accountability to like, well, okay, you actually have a building. You're not just operating out of a postal box, or that didn't exist in this case. And that creates, you know, its own, that's the way the legislature created this program. And then DHS is implementing it, and no one seemed to be internally just like throwing up the red flags and screaming to the roof when we see, you know, $2.6 million a year to over $100 million a year. Like, wait a minute. That just doesn't even make sense.
AJ Legault and his team over at Care 11 Investigates have been covering this, started working on it last year. You know, and no disrespect to any TV newsroom investigative unit, but I think a lot of people are asking if AJ and Gary Knox and his team can kind of suss this out. Why can't the state? Why aren't they catching this on the front end? Why does it take a TV newsroom to kind of expose this sort of stuff? I think I don't know that you have an answer to that, but it is a little troubling, I think.
I mean, right, I'm just a knucklehead TV reporter trying to figure things out.
Right.
And I have to wait on the state to give me the data I need to figure it out. They're sitting on it.
Did they drag their feet?
Not been able to wrap my head around.
Did they drag their feet when you kind of, you know, put in the initial data request trying to figure out, all right, who are the clients, who are the businesses that you guys are paying?
They've been pretty responsive on getting me the data for this HSS. Now, you know, there's always times as a reporter you think government agencies are dragging their feet.
Course,
and in some cases, it takes a month, 2 months, you know, sometimes more to get the data that you're looking for. And so that's, you know, as a reporter, always a frustration when you're like, come on, it's in a computer. Just print this out for me. But, you know, I can't tell you if they're dragging their feet internally or not.
Got it.
Sometimes it feels like it.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you guys have just been relentless pursuing fraud and pursuing evidence of wrongdoing. And I think at a time where so many people are quick to just reflexively rip on the news media for not holding the powerful accountable, I think you guys are really a strong counterpoint to that, showing really the power of having people out there kind of getting it done. So thank you. And, you know, it's expensive. It's expensive to do this kind of work. So for Care to be investing in it, I think, is pretty impressive in a tough time in media, for sure.
Yeah, it makes me proud to work for my employer when they support journalism like this.
What's next? What are we looking into next?
Well, you know, I don't want to scoop myself here, even though
right.
You're a very talented viewer there, Jason. But I will say, the housing stabilization is not the only Medicaid program that bears some close examination right now.
All right. A little tease. AJ Legault, Care 11, appreciate the time and appreciate the work. Thanks, AJ.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
All right. We are a couple of weeks away from the State Fair, which is the home of the most iconic chocolate chip cookie, I think, in Minnesota. The most iconic. It is fair to call Sweet Martha's chocolate chip cookies, iconic.
Absolutely it is.
No, this is like a big Rochelle Olsen issue, the Star Tribune opinion writer. She's on with Chad. She doesn't like the misuse of the word iconic. But I think Sweet Martha's cookies are iconic. Today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. And, you know, I don't eat a ton of cookies. But I do think the chocolate chip cookie is the number one cookie, right? Like, what's better? What is better than a chocolate chip cookie? I would say in the Chad paradigm, it's properly rated, the chocolate chip cookie. In fact, it may be on the edge of being underrated because people want to be so cool. Like, it's no big deal. It's like, I think maybe it's underrated. People are trying to be too cool about it. You're not a big chocolate chip cookie. But what's better?
It's fine. I don't hate them.
I know, but what?
I think they're slightly overrated.
What's better?
A good ginger snap is better.
Oh, that's Alyssa's favorite. Yeah. Not mine. I'd rather have the chocolate chip.
It's just a little too sweet for me.
My mom, when I went off to college, gave me her secret chocolate chip cookie recipe. And when I went out to buy the Toll House chocolate chips and flipped it over, I realized my mom's recipe was just off the back of the bag.